Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
I feel like if I make those kicks, not only the points, but the momentum that gives our team, they just think it's a different game. So I have to be better than that. I got to make those kicks.
Did you have a distance that you felt good from going into this thing?
Yeah, I felt good from all the distances we kicked in the game. Felt really good on all those. Just got to be better. Got to put in the uprights.
Commanders kicker Matt Gay, who missed two field goals in his three attempts yesterday. They were both from beyond 50, 52 and 58. And so there was a time where you would see that and say, oh, well, you know, that's not a big deal as long as you're making everything from inside of 50. But the NFL's changed a lot. And nowadays, 55 is the new 45, it feels like. Pretty much inside of 55, you've got to be drilling. He's had an issue in that regard, missed 11 times out of 14 misses over 2 years were beyond 50 yards. And that was a theme this preseason. It was a concern coming in, and now through a week and a half, it has reared its head. The show's brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad, and today we're out in Leesburg at Spanky Shenanigans.
As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
So let's go through a bunch of the issues from the game, and let's file them into one of two categories, which is bad game, something you're not going to allow yourself to spend a lot of time worrying about. You're not going to use any of your anxiety points on that.
Yep.
Or something that you actually think sustainably is a problem for this team. So we'll start right there with Matt Gay missing two field goals. I think I'm going to be in the minority. I'm not yet going to allow this to be a major thing. If he misses inside of 50 next week, now you're working out kickers. Now you're having a competition. By the way, I think they should have done that anyway. I think he should have been competing. But remember, this is interesting. He signed a one-year deal, this kicker, for over $4 million guaranteed this season.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him the largest guaranteed one-year contract to a kicker in history after he was cut by the Colts with problems from kicking 50-plus. So I liked that they went big for a veteran, and I kind of thought Gay was pretty good, so I didn't hate it at the time. I thought they went and got a really good kicker. But when you do that, when you're talking about breaking records at a position, you kind of got to be right because you box yourself in a little bit. It's not like you signed Zane Gonzalez or some dude like Cade York for a seventh-round pick you could just move on from right away. So he's getting some leash here because, quite literally, there's never been a bigger one-year commitment to a veteran kicker.
So nobody's going to want to hear what I'm about to say. I promise you. No one's going to be interested in it. But here we go anyway. To me, the misses weren't glaring, oh my God, this dude doesn't belong. One hit the upright. The other was slightly pulled. Now, there's a difference. Like, I don't have a great analogy. I'll do my best here. When my 7-year-old goes to throw a football, if he throws a ball errantly, if I'm pretty close to him, it's not because he couldn't kick it that far, couldn't throw it that far. But if I back up 50 yards and he muscles up and his front shoulder flies open and his left foot steps all weird and his right hip is one way and his, you know, everything's a mess and it goes end over end, it's not even close to me, I go, he can't throw it that far. Matt Gay can kick it that far. Again, these misses weren't like, oh my God, alert, emergency, this dude doesn't belong in the NFL kind of stuff. I know people just want to see the maid and kind of that's that. But to me, I think he's fine. I think he's going to be fine. The kickoffs are there. He's doing exactly what's asked. I feel okay about it. Again, it's a gust of wind, a certain amount of spin, the way that the ball rotates or doesn't. If you get plays a little bit of a draw or fade or otherwise, almost made the one from 52 and then the 58-yarder. Again, plenty of distance. So I actually feel better about him than I think a lot of people today after he goes 0 for 2.
So we're in lockstep, it would appear.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're not bringing in kickers then? Or?
I always would, by the way, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't do guaranteed deals for kickers. It's like reliever in baseball. A guy that was locked down, incredible, a year ago, stinks this year. It happens.
All right, Marshawn Lattimore last night looked like he did in 2024. So now we've got a growing sample of – I thought he was very solid in week one. Now, it's funny. We all celebrated week one, like, $20 million corner, he's the man. There were three penalties in that game on Marshon Lattimore.
Mm-hmm.
One of them didn't get accepted. Another one was just an over-physical play at the end of a snap, but every time it's a penalty, and it's one of those, really, what are you doing, where he picks a guy up and body slams him. I got to look this up. I mean, he clearly leads the defense. I would think he leads the team in penalty yards since he got back on the field being healthy. But we're creeping up on a half dozen penalties now through two games for Marshon Lattimore after last night. And last night looked like 2024 Marshon Lattimore. So for you, is this a, oh boy, that was a bad game for him, or is this a big problem?
That's a red alert sound. Picked on, exposed. Dontavian Wicks took your lunch. Respectfully, Dontavian Wicks is the jaggiest jag that ever jagged who wears a weird helmet. That if that guy's kicking your ass, everybody should be licking their chops.
Point of order. Does he wear the weird helmet? I know Romeo Doms does.
Listen,
does he as well?
Did he play receiver for Green Bay? Then he wears the weird helmet.
Okay. Too much of that. I mean, look, I'm going to get yelled at and maybe in trouble or something. Everyone should do whatever they want to do to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Can we acknowledge those look so goofy? It's very much.
It's a goofy look.
It's a Spaceballs look, yeah. Right? It's Rick Moranis
in
Spaceballs.
Look.
Now,
Lord Helmet.
If you have kids and a family and you're prioritizing that, all you're doing is doing the right thing. So God bless you. But can we have two conversations? Which is,
yeah,
good for you to do the right thing. Also, you look like a goofball.
You look weird. But he looked weird because I saw him a lot because he was catching passes on Marshon Lattimore. This is not 2021. It wasn't last year. It's not 2021 this year. This is a red alert, emergency, oh my God situation.
Okay, so I'm going to be annoying here, if you don't mind, Mr.
Goutier. I'll allow it.
I'm going to straddle the fence some. I don't think this is a nothing burger. This was not just like a bad game. I also am not going to go full Rouye.
You never want to go full Rouye.
You can't
go
full Rouye.
You don't want to do that.
Like, if there is a panic
your
button.
Your pants end up off.
You're hitting the panic button.
Yes.
I'm not. I think on a 1 to 10 scale where Marshon Lattimore is going to be an all-pro this year, and that's a 10, and 1 is, oh, my God, this guy is washed and can't play at all, I'm probably like a 5. So I'm going to say this is absolutely a thing that there are going to be games where this happens and he gets picked on and teams take advantage of him. But I don't think it's going to be a disaster. Like, in your mind, you're saying this guy can't play and he's Benjamin St. Just.
Yes. They should have moved on from him this offseason.
I don't hate that take. And I had that take at the time. I think there were a lot of $20 million corners that were available who have been better more recently than
he's
him.
He's making Traverius Ward money. He's making Byron Murphy money. He's making Carlton Davis money. Paulson Adebo money. DJ Reed money. Nate Hobbs. $6 million bucks against the cap more than that dude. I would rather have every one of those guys.
Josh Connerly had a really rough go of it last night. 8 pressures allowed by himself.
Hmm.
This is now consecutive games where he's been on the wrong end of at least 1 sack. And you want to be technical about like who gets the sack and where they came from. 4 times guys over top of him have had sacks. It's not all on him through these 2 games. But he went up against maybe the best edge rusher in the league. My apologies, Myles Garrett. Certainly looked like the best edge rusher in the league last night in Micah Parsons. And it didn't go very well. On Connerly, I'll just jump out and say, at the beginning.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Beginning of training camp, he looked kind of like this, if I'm being honest.
Uh-huh.
Like, and not against, I'm talking about against Washington's edge defenders, like against Dorrance Armstrong and stuff. By the end of training camp, he was the most improved player, and I went back out there and I'm going, this looks like it could work. He might actually start and be fine. I think he's going to improve quickly, just like he did in camp. He actually had a pretty good preseason. I think they're going to need to help him, and if John Bates is unavailable and he's not on the field, that's going to really, really hurt against Max Crosby. But right now, this moment, he's not there yet. He's just not ready. So I think in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, you're still ironing some things out. I think if you fast forward to like week 15 and you come back, you're going to feel real good about Connerly going into the offseason as like a second-year right tackle who can be a mainstay bookend piece opposite Tunsil.
Short-term for me, it's a thing. Now, again, the 3 guys that he's playing at the gate, Max Crosby this coming week, Micah Parsons and slash Lucas Van Ness, lining up over him at times. And Brian Burns in week one mixed in with a couple other guys, Abdul Carter and some others. That's tough for anybody. Those guys are going to put up sacks and pressures and TFLs against every lineman they go up against this year, save maybe a couple Hall of Fame caliber all pros at the height of their powers. They're excellent. Long term, I am not worried about Josh Connerly. I believe in the player. There's too much raw, unmolded clay there for me to give up this early on a late first-round pick. The athleticism, I don't think he's got a great set of strength yet, especially in his lower body, just reading what some of the scouts said about him. He's also hadn't played right tackle before he got here to Washington. I really believe he'll be fine. This is just a baptism by, not just fire, but like one of those white-hot infernos from backdraft.
Jaden Daniels, two games in this season, has not played at the level he played at last year. As a ball carrier last week against the Giants, he was exceptional. 10 for 68. Looked like he was same old Jaden. But as a passer last week, I think to a man we all kind of said, not quite as accurate, wasn't on his peak level from the end of last season. This was much worse last night. I mean, they really hemmed him in and bottled him up and didn't let him get out of the pocket. Nobody has ever corralled a healthy Jaden Daniels to this extent. There was one game when he got hurt against the Panthers, one game where he got, you know, sat down at halftime because they were about to go to the playoffs in the final week against the Cowboys. When he's played four quarters, he's never had fewer rushing yards than he had last night, and they just didn't allow him to get out of the pocket. There's been an adjustment made, clearly, by the Packers. They were able to do it with their personnel to this offense where he was not able to move. I also saw it seemed like, you know, the tendency last year was he would leave the pocket to the right, leave the pocket. If he went left, he's running. If he went right, he's creating. And they basically did everything they could to funnel him back toward his left. So I think that's one of the adjustments you're going to see. I'm not overly worried about Jaden Daniels, but he was on the injury report with a wrist. He was limping around really bad at the end of the game after getting helicoptered and landing on his head and shoulder. Then late in the game, he got his leg twisted and his feet stuck in the ground, and you know, he was hobbling. This is starting poorly as far as a sophomore year goes. Whatever that conversation was for months about, like, sophomore slump, could he take a step back? It's way, way, way too early. But if last year was a 9 out of 10, so far this has been, I would say, a 6 out of 10, and that's just based on him running well against the Giants.
Yeah, I'd even put it a little bit lower.
I mean, yesterday's game was like a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
The Giants game maybe was a 6, so maybe it's like a 5 for two games. It's not been pretty.
I'm extremely concerned, and it's less about Jaden Daniels to me. He's related. He's part of the conversation. But I don't think there's enough explosiveness. I don't think there's enough help in this moment. If teams are going to look at the Green Bay blueprint, not everyone can do it because they don't have the defensive personnel. But that's the blueprint right now. That style of zone, take away the things that they want to do. You know, if you get enough quality pass rush without having to blitz to force them, as you said, to run a certain way or to escape a different way, et cetera, you're kind of taking the cape off of Superman. So to me, this is less about Jaden Daniels, who I think is special and electric and awesome and wonderful. That will not change. If he's hobbled now or a little bit slower now, we saw it last year, he'll recover from that and be splendid. But I think kind of the word is out a little bit on what to do, how to limit these things. And if you can't go down the field, and I don't know that they can right now.
Let me drill down on this. When you say the word is out, are you referencing last night with his inability to rush? Because 1 week earlier he ran for 70.
This is the passing game.
Okay.
So we talk about this all the time. Like, think of a major league pitcher who's got a great splitter or a great curveball. Let's say Grant Paulson, my major league starter today, has a dynamite curveball. You don't just throw the curveball every time. You're throwing your fastball. You're throwing your splitter. You're throwing your changeup. You're throwing your slider. You're throwing your cutter. You're throwing your whatever. But you want to get to the curveball. What Kingsbury and company want to get to, what they majored in last year, is that short-ish, intermediate-ish passing. Those spots, those Zach Ertz spots, those Terry McLaurin 12, 13, 14 yards square, and some of those comebacks, the slants and the things like that, where Debo Samuel majored in week number one. That's what they want to get to. Green Bay said, nope, you can't do that. We are taking that away and we'll rally if you check down underneath. There was no over the top last night. I don't know who's going over the top. Jalen Lane, I think he's a great punt returner. I don't think he's ready for prime time as a receiver. In terms of a route runner, I was worried about that in the preseason. I'm still worried about it now. McLaurin's not quite McLaurin yet. Whenever he feels like doing it, I guess, or gets up to speed physically, that would be great. But I don't think they can counter what's being done to them right now. So I am worried kind of in the short term, especially if Daniels is hobbled.
Yeah, last night they didn't try to do anything vertically, and I just have to think that's because they didn't trust themselves holding up, especially after Bates goes down, because that's like losing a tackle, basically.
Yep.
And so now
so valuable
you're,
as a blocker.
Getting rid of some of that 12 personnel, which is the play-action shot stuff that they're doing anyway, probably. By the way, speaking of 12 personnel, which means two tight ends are on the field, Ben Sinnott caught a ball last night.
Here we go.
Ben
Second
Sinnott.
Second-round pick, caught a pass.
Huh? Second-round pick catching a ball last night.
Good deal.
And by God, that's Luke McCaffrey's music.
Here we go.
Right? 19-yard completion for sweet Luke McCaffrey. So it wasn't all bad last night. It just takes getting absolutely blown out. But Ben
and a couple
Sinnott
injuries.
And Luke McCaffrey both caught passes last evening for the locals. Last one, then, as far as quality of issue. Like, how much concern would you have moving forward? Because the other stuff is easy. Like, Austin Ekeler being out for the year, game changer, devastating. Dietrich Wise out for the year, game changer, devastating. I would go back to one other thing we've talked about, which was the defensive front and stopping the run. They did a better job last night stopping the run than they did last year. Josh Jacobs, 23 for 84, 3.7. It's kind of what he does, frankly. Like, that was the whole point of him, is to get 3 or 4 yards. He's B-Rob with a little more wiggle. But when you add in 24 yards to receivers on ends around and another 15 to Golden on his carries as a receiver, when you add in what they gave Jordan Love, overall in the game, Green Bay did run for 135 yards, and they averaged, you know, close to 5 yards per carry. I think they're better against the run, but this Dietrich Wise injury is going to really set them back, and I am now worried about that again. I don't think they can continue to play at the level they have for 2 weeks without him. I think he was that integral.
Much lower concern for me on that front. My concern is 6 for 124 for Tucker Kraft. My concern is Wicks open wherever he wants. My concern is Malik Heath down the field,
etc. You're having a different conversation. I'm just asking you, stopping the run,
which
is their number one priority. Well, you don't care about stopping the run.
No, I mean, I'd like the run stopped.
Yeah.
But I'm not as concerned about that. I mean, again, I thought they did a good job last night. Because to me, when I think of stopping the run, yeah, they got caught on a reverse. They got caught. But to me, the run is the 23 plays where they handed it to Josh Jacobs, and he went for 3.5 a pop.
So you still feel good about that?
I still feel good
about
that.
Even without Wise?
Even without Wise. Not great, but it's to me far less concerning.
I'm going to be curious about that. Goldman's been better than I anticipated on the interior. Kinlaw's huge.
I thought Martin was pretty good last night in that regard.
Jacob Martin's been really good. He's about to play a lot more, too, with this Dietrich Wise injury.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking D.C. sports and having fun chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.